Welcome, everybody, to Country Joe's Chicken Show here on countryjoeschickenshow.com.
Yeah.
And there you hear in the background, we have Joe Barber, Country Joe himself.
Uh-huh, and I'm here. And we have a real first exciting guest who just had his big birthday yesterday. You didn't know we knew that, huh, Chip? But Trudy at the bank told us all about your birthday. So.
Oh, she's always telling stuff on me.
Well, to officially introduce him, this is Chip Warner from VikingPure.com. And you do something really interesting that Joe was excited to tell me about, so he wanted you to tell all our listeners about it.
Yes, ma'am. Just to give a brief synopsis of what we do, our company manufactures a system that, using three simple elements, electricity, water, and salt, well, we give our customers the ability to produce a cleaning and a sanitizing solution on site for under 2 cents a gallon. And the cool part about it is both of them are 100% non-toxic.
And so, but this isn't saline, right?
It takes a saline solution. It takes a salt brine, and we have a cell that separates the salt because the salt is sodium chloride. So we're pulling the sodium apart, bringing it to one side, and that's making our cleaning solution. And we're bringing the chlorine to the other side and mixing it with another stream of fresh water, and that's creating hypochlorous acid, which is our sanitizing solution.
And, Chip, the exciting part that got me excited about it is it kills salmonella. And here
yes,
on my
does.
Chicken farm, that is the biggest fear everybody has is salmonella. And that's what got me excited about it. And when I heard this through our mutual friend Trudy at the bank, she says, oh, you got to have Chip come over and give you a demonstration. And I had you come over. That was totally blew me away when I did the deal with when you said, well, clean your stainless steel benches with bleach. And I did. And we put the meter on it and we had, a whole bunch of 350 germy dews per whatever. And then you put the water on there and we had zero operating room cleanliness, and that just convinced me right there. I had to have one, and I still can't get over that. Now my wife runs around the house with a squirt bottle, squirting everything.
So, so does my wife. So does my wife.
So that's the part. You probably tell because we're on the chicken show. Tell people about the small machine, which is basically the size of a coffee maker, a little bit bigger than a coffee maker, and it makes 2 gallons. And you can explain to everybody how, it makes the two different, that's the part where I, need you to jump in here.
Sure, absolutely. It is about the size of a coffee maker, and it's very simple to use. You just plug it into a power source, then you plug it into a water source, and then all you have to do is add a little bit of salt to the salt chamber, and you turn the dial and walk away, and in 10 minutes, you'll have 1 gallon of each solution. And that can be used anywhere throughout your house. It's perfectly safe to use around animals, especially out on the farm with chickens and other animals. And it's safe to, you can use it to clean your eggs. It's great for egg wash to clean and sanitize. And like I said, it's 100% non-toxic, so you don't have to do a rinse afterwards. Like most other cleaners, you would have to wash it and then rinse it before you could put it out. There's no rinsing involved. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's and when you say a water source, now that's just a little line like what you have for your refrigerator to go to your ice cube maker, right? That size of a line,
correct?
Right.
You mm-hmm. can get that water source from under your sink. You can get it like you just said with your maybe a tea breaking off behind your refrigerator. You can have that go to it. But it's just any water source you can find. And like you said, it kills salmonella. We kill E. coli. It even kills MRSA and for hospital applications, C. diff, and anything you can think of. We've had it tested against, and it's perfectly safe, and it gets rid of it in just a matter of seconds.
Now when you talk,
I was glad that you mentioned C. diff. My dad picked that up in the hospital last spring, and we're pretty convinced that that's eventually what killed him.
Oh, wow.
And that's something that my brother has struggled with because it's a really terrible infection, and my brother had been through a couple of rounds of antibiotics for something else recently. So his immune system was compromised, and he picked up the C. diff, and it's horrible to try to kill.
It's really scary, especially in hospitals. Alcohol hand sanitizers that are all around the hospitals, they don't even touch C. diff. There's alcohol won't get rid of it. So they have to. My grandfather actually just contracted it a couple weeks ago, and the entire room was he had to put on a special suit before you could go in the room. You had to put on a mask so you didn't breathe on him, and it was completely shut down. And that's what C. diff does, and it's and we kill C. diff in 20 seconds.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing. Now a lot of hospitals are starting to get these machines, right?
Yes, we have four in at the VA hospital in Orlando, and the one that's still being built, they have it in a couple in the retirement facility out back, and then they're doing two in the main hospital, and we also have some testing going on up in New York City, and that will yield quite a few other hospitals, very large hospitals, which will then open the door for all the mid-level hospital doctor's offices, dental offices, other places like that. So any application you can think of. I know I'm talking a lot about hospitals, but farming,
yep.
We're working with the Rodale Institute with farming, and they're the very, very big organic farming think tank, and they've approved our system. They've actually written a research paper on it showing the results of cleaning and sanitizing dairy equipment. Because they have a dairy farm they work with in Pennsylvania.
Now, this is really simple to operate. I mean, any person can really just operate just almost like a coffee machine, right? I mean,
oh, absolutely.
No yeah.
Absolutely. The Mini Pure is really simple. That's the smaller one that you were discussing, the coffee pot size. You know, you plug it into the water and the electricity, and you just turn a dial. That's all it takes. And then that dial is a timer, and after 10 minutes, it shuts itself off, and at that point, you will have 1 gallon of each solution.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool, because there are a lot of people out there with, shall I say, compromised immune systems. I happen to be married to one of them, and so keeping things clean is very, very important. And in fact, his mother, when he was growing up, worked for the Veterans Administration. So she's always been very, very germ conscious, especially around her son.
Mm-hmm.
And so it would be interesting if that was the kind of thing she's retired now, but a place like the VA could have on hand. She was a blood technician, medical technologist to sterilize the equipment because, you know, I heard on the radio the other day that they are problems getting saline to hospitals. So would this take the place of having to have saline trucked in bottles?
This would not take the place of saline. The only time this would actually take the place of it is it's being used in Japan a lot right now and all throughout Asia. They'll actually use it at a low concentration to flush an open cavity after heart surgery. As far as if somebody comes in and they need saline injected into them, this would not replace that. But I'll tell you what, though, speaking of the antibacterial and being germaphobe, and the FDA just released a report on the active ingredient in most of those the antibacterial soaps, and that is triclosan, and that's the active ingredient. They just released that it does no more good, you know, killing the germs than regular white bar soap. And it actually has some negative effects where it actually is a hormonal disruptor. So if somebody's in the age of puberty or if somebody's in childbearing age, it could actually affect their chances of conceiving. And if they do conceive, it could actually have an impact on any birth defects. So triclosan is in everything you can think of, antibacterial soaps, toothpaste, mouthwash. Just look at the back and you'll see it, and it's pretty scary. It's all around you.
Mm-hmm. Now talk about the other side of the water. We have the side that kills the germs and does the cleaning. Yeah,
I'm gonna stop you right now.
It's not break time. Well, when we come back, Chip, we got to talk about the other side.
Absolutely.
Okay,
we are running out of time for this segment. Folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show. Welcome. Welcome back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. We are talking with Chip from, it's VikingPure.com, VikingPure.com. Now, how did you name it Viking Pure? Because it's a water system. And you know, I wouldn't trust a Viking near my chickens if I didn't want them eaten. And coming from good Scandinavian stock, I can cast aspersions on Vikings in that way with impunity.
Well, Chip, how'd you come up with that name?
Our company started in 1968, and my father has Norwegian ascent. So he started Viking Industries, which we did hot milk gluing equipment. And we wanted to, we started getting into electrolyzed water, and we were trying to think of something that would really stand out, because it's pure water. We wanted to exemplify what we're doing and how safe it is. So we looked in, and Viking Pure was available, and it just fit our company, because we're pure all the way around.
Okay. Now, I wanted to talk before the break about the other side of the water. This makes two, you know, the cleaning part and the other side. Let's talk about the other side. What is that?
We were discussing the sanitizing side. So there is another side. The cleaning side is sodium hydroxide.
Okay.
And that is actually one of the main ingredients in most cleaners that you can buy at the store. It's a very strong cleaner and mild, and not really a mild, it's more of a stronger degreaser also. You can mop your floors with it, you can clean your carpets with it, you can actually even wash your clothes with it. It's great. It actually will emulsify oil if you pour it on it. So if there's any oil spills or anything around facilities, I know on farms there's a lot of equipment, and if you have some oil spills, you can pour it on there. It'll emulsify it and make it safe to dispose of.
So we could take care of all of these toxic chemicals hanging around the house for kids to get into and the whole thing with just this one machine, basically,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. My wife and I don't use any other chemicals around the house other than bleach, only for the reason that we have to whiten our clothes, because neither of these will have any discoloring of any surface you'll put it on. So the only stuff we have around the house is bleach. We clean our kitchen with hypochlorous acid, sanitize it every time we're cooking a meal, just as easy as pulling a trigger and misting the counter.
Wow.
So it's you get rid of 99% of the chemicals you would have in your house, especially if you have kids. You can get them out of there, and your kids will be in a lot safer environment.
Well, Chip, tell us how they can get a hold of you. How to get on your website and, you know, see the videos and everything you have. Tell us how to do that.
Sure. You can visit us at www.vikingpure.com, and that's VikingPure, or you can call us at 386-428-9800, and just ask for me, and I will sit down and I will talk with anybody. I'm a talker. I'm Italian, and I can talk your ear off.
Oh, good.
And, you know, you were saying it's a good chemical to have around to clean things with. Is that safe if you just get it on your hands, that side of the results from the machine?
It is 100% non-toxic. And when I say that, I actually just had a meeting today with a potential customer, and I sprayed the solution in my mouth and sprayed it in my open eyes. And it's safe for whatever. If you get it on your skin, it will actually exfoliate your skin. So we have a couple clients that they'll actually spray it on their faces, and they love it. It makes their skin smoother, and so it's perfectly safe on your skin, your eyes, your mouth, if whatever it may get into.
And you can also drink this too. It's alkaline water that like you buy in the health food store, also, isn't it?
Correct. If you go to GNC, they have the high pH water. All it is basically the pH, the sodium hydroxide mixed with some water to get it to that 9.5 pH, and that's the big buzz right now. And there's a lot of benefits to it. There's cancer cannot grow in an alkaline environment. So if you raise your body's pH to an alkaline environment, that a lot of studies are pointing to that could, you know, slow down or even halt the growth of cancer.
That's amazing.
So it's got a lot of benefits on both sides, and I know it kind of sounds like, you know, fish or, you know, snake oil or something, but it's proven. Mm-hmm. It's been around since the 1800s, and but we're the only company that can produce it without salt in the final product, which takes away from the corrosive factor.
Wow. Isn't that amazing, Karen?
It is so amazing. And when you were talking about how good it is at emulsifying oils, I come from a long line of engineers and mechanical types. So, you know, seeing them with oil on their hands is not an unusual thing. Trying to get them cleaned up for, you know, company is mm-hmm. often mm-hmm. the issue. And so I was just thinking that, you know, that could be great to have around.
I'm sorry. It does work great. My brother-in-law is a mechanic, and he actually prefers it over Gojo.
Wow.
So he keeps gallon around his house, and every time he works on his car, he cleans his hands with sodium hydroxide, and it cleans them right up. And we're approved by NASCAR, so we have a system up at Daytona International Speedway, and we did testing down at Homestead in Miami. Literally mm-hmm. just they poured a thing of oil down on the table, and we poured sodium hydroxide on it, and you can instantly see it start bubbling and going away. So it's great stuff.
Wow. Now, you have two different size machines. You have the small one that would fit on your countertop, and we also have the big industrial type. Tell us a little bit about that one, how big that is, and who would use that.
Sure. We have the Viking Pure Mini, which is the smaller one, and then we have the Viking Pure 1000. We offer that with just the control, or you can get it with twin 12, 25, or 50-gallon storage tanks. And those have sensors on them, so you can control the level of the tank. The system is completely automated, and it produces about 30 to 50 gallons per hour of each solution. So that's more for, you know, your larger hotels. You have larger food processing plants, and even farms. That would be great for farms because, like you said, you can sanitize all of your produce. You can sanitize during your slaughter area. You can sanitize and clean the eggs. So anything you can think of on a farm, this is 100% safe, especially if you're an organic farm.
Yeah, because I heard that especially people that grow vegetables, this will get rid of all the pesticides. You spray it, and, you know, we worry about pesticides in our fruit and vegetables, and this eliminates that. No worry with that. That's 100% right there, right?
It'll get rid of it fights the produce and the pathogens that will attack it. It is not a pesticide in the fact that it kills insects. Mm-hmm. So it will only go after, you know, the viruses or the bacteria, yeah. whatever may attack the plants.
Well, that's no, but I meant to clean it before you eat it.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like something that even somebody in the city who didn't have doesn't raise chickens might want to have this sort of machine in their kitchen just to wash the produce that they get from the store.
Yeah, and drink the water. Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. If you get some cherry tomatoes and just do a little test and you soak some in regular water and you soak some in sodium hydroxide, when you get the tomatoes out and you look at the water afterwards, the sodium hydroxide pulls so much more of those pesticides that are stuck on it. It pulls it off, and they taste so much better. People will rinse it with regular water. You're not getting the stuff off with regular water.
That's right.
That is so cool. Now, we've only got a minute left for this segment, so I don't want to run out of time. I want you to give people your web address again.
Yes, ma'am. It's www.vikingpure.com, and the phone number is 386-428-9800.
And you can, if someone, say, in the Boston area was interested, you can, you know, they can contact you over the website and get information that way. And can you buy the machines online?
You cannot currently. You cannot buy online, but we do. We can set up and send quotes, and then we can ship the systems. But we like to work with our customers,
right,
verbally and get stuff worked out that way.
Well, you know, Chip, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. We are running out of time. That's the least favorite thing in Joe's mind that I ever say.
Uh huh.
And folks, we will be right back with more of Country Joe's Chicken Show. back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com. And we have, as our guest now, Valerie Miller. And her website is Backyard... No, I'm sorry. Valerie, why don't you tell people what your website is?
Yeah, there we go.
Well, first of all, thank you, Joe and Karen, for the invitation to come on. It's always nice to be able to talk to people like you, like chickens. But my website is poultryshowcentral.com.
Okay.
So it's all things show poultry.
Yes, that's what I was just going to ask you. What is it all about? And maybe you could give us a description of that.
Okay, well, several years ago when we first started showing poultry, we were trying to schedule out our fall and all of our show season, deciding where we were going to go. And we had a lot of trouble finding information online about where the shows were and when they were taking place, and there just wasn't a lot of information online in any sort of a organized fashion. So we decided to just create a website that we were hoping we would find when we first got started showing. So our main goal initially was to have all of the poultry show dates in the country, in North America, Canada, and U.S., and we have it really well organized. We have it listed by state, by region, and by month. So it was a major undertaking because no one had ever really done it comprehensively before to gather all the information, make sure it's accurate, up-to-date and accurate is a kind of our big goal. And then we've expanded it beyond just the poultry shows to poultry swaps and auctions, and then we also have a show quality breeder directory. And lots of articles, so we can go into more detail. But that was the main reason that we created it, because we felt like it was a resource that really wasn't out there comprehensively. We had the Poultry Press newspaper, which is really helpful, but that's not online and at your fingertips when you need it sometimes.
Yeah. Right, you know, and I am up here in Massachusetts, and I was surprised last year to just run across the ball. I'm right outside of Boston. And I was very surprised to find out that the Boston Chicken Show was being held in my hometown, which is not really near Boston at all. And it was only because I happened to be out in the area that I stumbled across it. And it's like, how do I find these things? So it's good to know that your resource exists for people.
Yeah, there have been other people who have done it, but they've mostly been focused on different regions of the country, or, you know, they haven't tried to do all of them. So all of the main shows, plus a lot of the fairs that are sanctioned by the APA and the ABA, are on there. So I think we have a little over 400 shows right now. So it keeps me really busy trying to keep everything up to date and accurate.
Boy, sounds it. Yeah.
And I know we had somebody actually from the Poultry Press on not too long ago, and Joe just said to him, well, how many poultry shows are there a year? And he wasn't able to pin down an answer like you just were able to do.
Right, yeah.
Well, the Poultry Press has been around a long time, and they do a really great job. But it just is, we're in the generation where a lot of people are looking for, you know, they want it at their fingertips the minute they want it, and they, you know, to wait once a month for that. Sometimes we're just not very patient. So I certainly use them as a great resource, and we enjoy getting the Poultry Press and reading through their articles and getting information from them. But
now what I'm going to ask next is, how did you get started showing poultry, and what breeds do you still show, and what breed is your favorite?
Well, that's an easy question. An easy question as far as my favorite. I guess I'll start at the beginning, though. We kind of stumbled into it. I guess that's how most people stumble into showing chickens. Most people don't wake up and decide they're going to show chickens someday. But we were hooked on just having backyard chickens for the eggs, and we had decided we had a broody hen with some Buff Orpingtons that just we had gotten from a hatchery. And we had a broody hen that was sitting on eggs, and it was around Easter time. They were about to hatch, and we thought, wouldn't it be fun if we could go get some Americanas that lay the blue eggs? And my daughter, she at that time, I think she was 6 or 7, and we thought she would just love it. So as it turned out, in our search, we found a breeder who had day-old peeps that we could get from them, but they showed chickens, and they had have a son that's just a little older than our daughter. And they said, oh, yeah, it's so fun. It's great for the showmanship is great for them, and it's just a really fun hobby. And you should come to a show. There's one near you in a couple weeks, and I think you'd really enjoy it. And so we went to the first show. We took the peeps home, and we integrated it with the broody hen, and she raised them. But we went to the first show, and we were just totally hooked because it took our love of chickens, and we realized just how beautiful chickens can be when you bring them into a show, and they're all groomed and beautiful and perfect. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of the beginning. We kind of just ended up, we thought, well, hey, now we and at that show, actually, the breeder who won the whole show ended up giving us one of the birds he had brought along to sell.
Oh, wow.
When he saw my daughter looking at it, a little golden Seabright. And that was the beginning. We had two show quality breeds, and so we thought, well, hey, why not? Let's go to a show ourselves with these birds once they grow up, and the rest is history. So we actually don't breed the black Americanas anymore. We still have a few around, but we don't actually hatch from them. But we have speckled Sussex bantams, which are not really very common, but they're great little birds. We have light brown Dutch bantams, which are also really small. And my favorite of all the breeds is a black Australorps. I just love our black Australorps. We just have a sweet personality, and they've got sweet little faces, and they're just wonderful egg layers and all-around great birds. We also have golden Seabrights, but unfortunately this winter when it was so cold, there was one night that we had a cold snap and we just lost all of them.
Oh,
so that was
God.
Really, really sad because that was my daughter's favorite breed. But we'll start over.
Oh, yeah.
We just haven't gotten any new ones yet.
Where do you live?
We live in South Central Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Just south of Harrisburg.
Okay, so you're... A cold snap for you is a cold snap, as opposed to a cold snap for Joe is what we up here in Boston call a mild day.
Yeah, I think it got down to about 2 degrees or maybe a little less with wind chill. So for the little Seabrights, they couldn't quite handle that. We had one window open, a crack, and we figure it must have just been a cold draft that got them. It was all in one night. So these things happen, unfortunately. Uh-huh.
Now, how do people get onto your site again? If they want to look up shows and whatnot,
it's poultryshowcentral.com. And when you first come onto the website, we have three main links right away. Showing our three main features: the poultry show dates, the swap meet dates, and the breeder directory. The swap meet dates is more because there's a lot of breeders who they hatch lots and lots of birds. And then they don't, if they don't aren't people who just call them immediately, they want a place to sell them. So there's a lot of people who just come for the swap meet dates who aren't necessarily into showing because there's nobody else who's really comprehensively listed all of those as well.
Right.
I would like to talk a little bit about the breeder directory at some point because that's a really unique resource that I have too.
And that's going to take more than 15 seconds. So.
It probably is. Maybe we can talk about that next time.
Well, we'd love to have you stick around. So, folks, we will be right back with more Country Joe's Chicken Show. Back to Country Joe's Chicken Show. We're here with Valerie Miller.
Poultry. And Valerie, yeah. Poultry.
Try to get her website right this time.
Okay.
Poultry Show Central. Is that right, Valerie?
Poultry Show Central. Yes, you're correct. .com.
Okay, now you had, we're going to talk, you wanted to talk about the breeder's directory.
Yeah, the thing that's unique about our breeder directory, first of all, is we focus on the show quality breeds, so it's not, not that I can necessarily assure that, but that's one of the things that's a little different, that it's not just any backyard flock or hatchery quality, but they're show quality of the different breeds. But we list, first of all, we have a list of all the different breeds that can be shown. So each of those breeds has its own page of, let's say you're looking for a very specific breed, like you're looking for not just a Leghorn, but a Leghorn Bantam, and you want to find all the other breeders, you want to find breeders in the country that you can buy one. So we have it broken down in a really nice, organized way, but more importantly, if you are a breeder, we have a free listing, and it's not just a one-liner, like it's a classified ad, but you can actually add pictures, you can add as much information as you want. It's essentially like having your own web page, because you can list, you know, your own website, you can list the shows that you've won, where you, you know, what's good about your bird, what bloodlines they came from. And it's a free service, and the pictures are a really nice added feature that I don't think you can, as far as I know, there's nowhere else that you can have a free breeder directory listing with pictures. And when you have a show quality bird, it's especially important that you can list a picture, because mm-hmm. a lot of people want to see exactly what they would be getting if they were to buy from you.
Now, one of Joe's favorite things in the whole world to talk about is rare breeds. Do you have breeders who do some of the rarer breeds that you list?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a lot of, in a perfect world, we would like to have every single breed represented in our breeder directory. Right now, we have almost 300 listings in our breeder directory. But some of the more rare breeds that we have listings for, I think we have one for Nankins, which is a pretty one you don't see too often. Brabanters, I don't know if we've ever heard of that before.
No. There's
a Barnevelder that is listed. I mean, there's lots and lots of some things like Silkies and
right.
Old English Game.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Americanas are very, very common listings. But I'm trying to think. We have three Nankin breeders, which are there really aren't very many of those in the country.
And, Joe, what breed are you focusing on these days?
Well, I'm really interested in finding Malays. You know, the big 3-foot rooster. that's my one. I do have white black white face Spanish now, and I've got camp.
Okay,
pines.
Yeah.
And I got camp pines.
Well,
but,
one other thing that we do on our breeder directory for someone like you, if you're looking for a particular breed, we also have. Just like you could create a listing for, if you have a breed, you can list make a wanted ad, where along the right-hand column it says, you know, I'm wanting Malay Bantams or a specific variety of Malay or whatever you're looking for with your contact information. And if somebody goes on there and sees that and they have them available, then they can contact you. So that's just it's a free service that, you know, obviously we have options like a free featured breeder options that you would pay a little. Just to kind of have a little bit more visibility. But in general, everything is free. Our goal is that it can be a free service that people can use.
Right.
Right. And now we should make sure Joe's wife doesn't listen to the show, because if he's going on there and saying, okay, I want Malays, I want campons, I want some golden campons. Yeah. So is there any information to like block spouses seeing my
can't help you there.
Yeah. But that sounds interesting. That's a kind of unique service that you have there, I think. I hadn't heard of that before anywhere. Wow.
Yeah.
And do you do any work with the SPPA?
We haven't worked I mean, other than meeting them at different shows that we've gone to, we haven't worked with them directly. Uh-huh. Although we would love to have more, because I feel like there are some, there's a lot of the rarer breeds, they don't have their own websites that they, if you're looking for that breed, that you can go and find breeders. And so it would be great if we could get more of those rare breeds on the website. I would love that, but it's a matter of, we go to a lot of shows and try to as when we're there, talk to people who do have, you know, see if they have their breeds listed if they sell their birds, so.
Uh-huh.
Well, you
another
know,
thing
you,
that we do is, go ahead. I was going to change the subject, so go ahead. And
well, we often have Craig Russell on as a recurring guest on our show, so I'll tell
you. Oh, Craig.
Everybody knows Craig.
Everybody knows Craig. Yeah. But Craig is not website compatible, shall we say.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a computer. He's
old. Yeah, there's a lot of, I found that there are a lot of breeders that when I go to shows, a lot of the older breeders, they don't have any, they have no desire to even look at the website, because they don't have computers or whatever. But I really feel like there's a lot of, if we're going to keep the poultry showing world alive, we need to kind of keep the younger people involved, because that's kind of the future of things.
I agree.
So I'm hoping that is going to be possible a little bit more through this website.
Well, that'll be interesting, you know, and we'll have to nudge Craig to maybe try to, you know, if not get a website for himself, but at least, you know, write you a letter with contact information.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to talk to him next show, because I usually run into him. Uh-huh. I'll have to twist his arm a little. But one other thing that's been really fun with this website, it's been a very much a family affair. It's only been about 2 years in, but I have a 10-year-old daughter who is very much involved with the design, and she just, with the breeder directory, she adds a lot of the pictures and that sort of thing. But she also does, for showmanship, you have to basically know all things chicken, especially mm-hmm. show chickens. And so every month she does trivia questions to help people study for showmanship. So she comes up with them herself, and we update them. We have all the archives on the website. So whenever 4-H groups or people just want to, yeah, they want to get into showmanship, but they don't know where to start, they have a good list of things to fill their head with some of the knowledge they're going to need. So that's been a really good studying excuse for her, but also she just really enjoys it. She loves showmanship and loves all the – she's our chicken girl. She knows all things chicken.
Wow, that's great.
Well, I want to get in. If she has a chicken that she really considers her special pet chicken, she could always nominate it for pet of the day. And that's how my husband and because we show off a new pet's photo and story every day. And people love when we have things like chickens on there, because a lot of kids will view our website in classrooms and everything. So, we are out of time, but we'll be right back, and I'll get into that and more in a second. Okay. Country Joe's Chicken Show. We were talking with Valerie Miller, the Poultry Show Central. And I was just saying, you know, if your daughter had a chicken she wanted to nominate for Pet of the Day, a lot of children view our website in classrooms. And these are kids who've never met a chicken and have no idea that a chicken is a bird, that's not something that appears in the supermarket prepackaged.
She would love that. we'll have to do that this summer. She would enjoy that process.
Well, especially because you already said she likes taking the photos of the chickens to put those up.
Yeah, she definitely does. I guess the one other resource that we have that's really unique is there's a lot of people out there who have backyard chickens who hear about showing chickens and they don't know, they think it sounds like fun, but they don't know where to start. And so we have articles on our website. We call it Fancy Poultry 101 and Fancy Poultry 201. But the ones that are most helpful are we have kind of a beginner's guide to showing poultry, where we have articles on how do you groom a bird for show, how do you, you know, wash them because you actually give them a bath before the show to get all the dirt off of them, and how do you feed a show bird? How's that different than, you know, just feeding a backyard chicken? How do you fill out an entry form? And when you go to a show, the tags on the shows can sometimes be confusing because there's lots of abbreviations used, and if you've never been to a show, you have no idea what they're even saying. So,
right, that's true.
Just some basics like that will help people who, there are a lot of people who are interested in getting into showing since, just because chickens in general have become so popular in the last few years.
And they might be intimidated by all of the technical part of it and not do it, right? You know?
Right. Well, it is kind of overwhelming if you don't have someone that you know already that does it, that can kind of walk you through the process. So kind of been our goal to kind of be a help for people who are interested to find out what is it actually like? What do you do to get the birds looking so beautiful at the show and leading up to it? So,
yeah, that'll be pretty interesting because I know a lot of people, city folk, people in areas like mine are getting into having backyard chickens. And of course, if you have a small child with a chicken and that child loves that chicken, of course, it's going to want to show it off. So it's good, especially I would have no idea how to bathe a chicken for a show.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great fun. In general, they don't mind it as much as you might imagine. You know, they say madder than a wet hen, but really, I mean, they don't mind it that much. I think some of them actually enjoy it a little bit because it's nice warm water.
They do. Mine love it down here in Florida. They stay out in the rain.
Okay. You know, it's, yeah.
That amazed me to watch them just get soaking wet, and I'm thinking, what's the matter with you? But they do enjoy it. They really do.
They do seem to. When you add nice soapy warm water, that it makes them even happier sometimes. Not always, but sometimes.
And so you are still showing poultry yourself as well as running the website?
Oh, yes. Yep. It's actually been a really nice way to when we go to shows and we set up a table to tell people about the website, then it's a tax deduction, so we're always happy about that. It kind of helps to justify our showing as well. So that's been it's been really fun just to meet so many people. Having a table at poultry shows, it's been a really fun. People who show poultry are just such a great group of people, and we've gotten to know so many good friends, and just, you know, whenever you can all just sit around and talk chicken, you can talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's
you have
true.
That common thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just so fun to go to a show and talk chickens for a couple hours.
Right. Now, you do geese and turkeys and all of that other stuff, too, on your website?
Yep, I do. I'm just partial to chickens. We have, for our breeder directory, we have subcategories for all kinds of different things, and that's certainly part of it too. Mm-hmm. Whenever you go to shows, I mean, there's lots and lots of ducks and geese. There's more chickens for sure, but there's definitely a lot of ducks and geese, and sometimes even some turkeys and that sort of thing. So pigeons. I'm starting to do a few pigeon shows. I don't have all of them by any means, but I do have the main ones on the website now too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we started with pigeons here. People were asking the different pigeon clubs, and we did do some stuff here with pigeons. That seems like, I don't know, you know, more people are getting interested in that, or they're just finding out about it. But that seems to be a new thing.
And a lot of shows have pigeon shows at the same time, so it seemed like a logical thing to list on the website.
And do you update it once a week or update it daily or just whenever you find out something new?
Well, it's getting all of the dates for both the swap meets and the poultry show dates is pretty much all the time. If I sit down and relax too long, I get behind. But I'm really wanting it to be up to date and accurate. And I have most of the shows for 2014. I'll be able to breathe a little easier once all of the dates for 2014 have come in. A lot of them, I'm guessing for the fall, maybe even haven't been set, but I haven't been able to reach the people who are contacts for the show to let me know whether they're having it and what date. So, and the swap meet dates, they don't tend to set them until close to the time, so it's really hard to track those down sometimes. But
now,
so it keeps me busy, but it's...
If someone's listening
to the show,
it's a fun hobby,
and I enjoy it.
If someone's listening to the show and they want to contact you and say, "Oh, well, you know, I'm participating in a chicken show this weekend, and I don't see it on your website," is there a place, or even if people can email you right on your website?
Yep, there's numerous places. One of them, I have an option of adding a poultry event. If people want to add one, there's a link on the homepage under Share It, or along the edge. Also, you can always contact me. My email is contact@poultryshowcentral.com. And there's also a contact us on the website that you can get to me as well. So there's lots of different ways once you're on the site that you can get through to me if there's something missing. And I always am very happy when somebody sends me a correction as well if there's a date wrong or a contact person that's wrong or a location. I by all means need to know that because I just can't keep track of all 400 some shows.
Wow.
If there's a change, I need to rely on those who can contact me. So I appreciate that very much when people do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Boy, that sounds like it keeps you really busy. Wow. Boy, that's taking on a good undertaking right there, doing that.
It's a little big. I was expecting, but we've enjoyed it, so that's been good.
And it's fun that you mentioned your daughter does the trivia quizzes for, you know, people who might be interested. So even a kid, I'm thinking of my cousin's little boys, they would like to have chickens. They can't where they are right now, but they want to get into chickens, and they're looking to move, of course. You know, kids don't know that you can't just buy a house with enough room for a chicken because they want you to. But that would be a good thing for them to go on to learn more about chickens even before they have them, right?
Yeah, sure, especially if they want to show them. And if nothing else, they can come and see a lot of really pretty chickens. We have lots of pretty chickens on our website.
Well, that's great. You know, we are down to the final minute of the show, Joe. I know you hate when I say that.
I always know it's coming. I'm looking at the clock.
That's right. Well, you know, Valerie,
for having me on, I get it.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much. It sounds like a great resource for people.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's interesting. So why don't you give us that website again before we go? And
okay, it's www.poultryshowcentral.com.
Okay.
Simple enough, and everything is spelled right. It's not one of those tricky URLs.
Our tagline is your source for show poultry information. So that pretty much says it.
There. Yeah, it does.
Excellent. Sounds great. And you know, Joe, we are running out of time, and Joe and I always try to say this together.
Oh, we never do, but we'll try. Are you ready?
We'll try it. Okay.
You go first.
All right. May the flock
be with you.
Be with you.